rebound, and he feeds it to Bielitsa.
Cat is such a good passer. His vision is marvelous, is what is so impressive.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Wolves Wired podcast, part of the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network Podcast Center. You can follow the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network at HPB Network. I'm here with Tim Fakeless, contributor to Hardwood Paroxysm, A Wolf Among Wolves, as well as Sporting News. His roommate Fink is in the apartment listening, checking his fantasy football score. You may hear him chime in the background at some point. Coming out of the pod, my name is Zachary Bennett. I'm the producer and co-host of this year Wolves Wired podcast. I know on episode 2, I think it was, Tim, we promised that a lot more voices would be on this podcast, and
yep,
we have failed to deliver in that regard. Something fell through with William Bull last Sunday, so he'll be on in the upcoming weeks. I know we'll have Kyle Radke, who works for the Timberwolves, as well as a surprise guest that we'll keep secret, you know, spoiler. Or not spoiler.
The opposite of spoiler.
Teaser is there the term is. I was looking for. So, Tim, are you sick of me yet? I've been in your apartment all week.
I mean, how long is this podcast going to be?
Hopefully pretty short. Well, let's start with quickly recapping the week in Wolves basketball. Last Monday, the Wolves lost to the Blazers. Tim, you were there. It was the home opener. There was a video tribute to Flip Saunders. It was very emotional. I hear media pundits and fans alike cried.
Yeah, I was looking straight ahead. I wasn't trying to look around and see how the other people were reacting, but I was getting pretty choked up. It was tough to watch. It was very well done, though.
Yeah, once the milk part came is when the waterworks started for me. I will show no shame there. Pretty underwhelming game from a basketball standpoint. I will describe it in a weird way that probably doesn't make sense, but I don't think the Blazers won as much as the Wolves lost. Up and down game, Damian Lillard had 34 points. CJ McCollum had a nice game.
Aminu also had a good game. Alfred Aminu.
Yeah, I just wrote random notes. I didn't know if they were tangible to any analysis, but Wolves had 5 players in double digits. They had seven players that attempt at least 5 field goals, and they had 3 players at least 10. And we'll revisit those when we look at the Chicago game. But any takeaways? Nothing? I mean, Damian Lillard was incredible.
Yeah, the takeaways from that game were more revolved around the Blazers. I didn't realize how good an outside shooter Aminu was, or willing an outside shooter. He took 5 threes in that game, and he played really well on both ends. He shut down Wiggins in that game. McCollum looks like he's going to get votes for most improved player, I think, this year. I don't know if he'll win. It's too early for that, but he's looking really good, and I mean, I didn't learn anything about Lillard. He's still really good.
No, McCollum was, I mean, he was on the Wolves draft board
the
year he was drafted, if I do recall. He had 18 points. He was a plus 17. He went 7 of 18 from the field. Had 6 rebounds and 4 assists. Damian Lillard, like I said, 34 points, 7 assists. Dane Carbaugh, who was a resident Blazers blogger for a while. I don't know what he does now.
Sporting News, too, for a while.
Hey, there you go. Former co-workers, I guess. Says that the Trailblazers have essentially hitched the wagon so Lillard can pull it, and as far as he could pull it is as far as they're going to go. A couple days later, the Wolves, I wrote, looked like poop.
That's accurate.
Against Miami. We called it the Sam Mitchell dunce cap game for some of that audio that you heard in the intro. We'll get into the lineups and things like that later. I know that's a big topic of conversation that we need to hit. Dwayne Wade, 29 points. I mean, he didn't even do a lot of his work at the foul line like you would imagine he would. He went 11 of 19 from the field. Goran Dragic had 18. Those guys were seemed pretty unstoppable the entire night. Miami ultimately won 96-84. Solid bench play for the Wolves, as weird as that sounds to say. Danny Shabazz and Adrian Payne all finished with a positive plus-minus. Towns, Wiggins, Rubio, Bielitsa, and Kevin Martin were all negative 15 or worse. Dang was had 10.6 rebounds in 25 minutes. Shabazz, 4.6 rebounds in 23 minutes. And Adrian Payne, he was a plus-1 in 13 minutes. And he had shot 3 or 4 from the field and scored 9 points. So yeah. Not a terrible game from them. I thought they had good energy off the bench. The problem was they didn't move the ball well enough.
No, I think Shabazz said after the game he thought that the team was playing selfishly, and I'm kind of amazed that he got 10 shots off considering how little he actually got the ball passed to him in that game. He seemed to be their most consistent scorer that game, but between Martin and Levine on that bench backcourt, he was not getting many touches in the half court. It was mostly on rebounds, and he'd just take it to the other side.
Yeah, Shabazz had 4 offensive rebounds. The Wolves actually had 18 second chance points to the Heat 7, which is a weird statistic, although, for lack of a better term, the analytic-friendly teams don't like to emphasize offensive rebounds as much. They would prefer people get back in transition defense. Hassan Whiteside was a presence. I didn't think he was a dominant force, but you know he's out there. You notice him. He's big.
They stopped going into the paint once. They tried a little bit at the beginning of the game, but once Whiteside blocked a few shots, they took their game out to mid-range and three, and they weren't hitting at all. And that's, in a way, that's a big part of why they lost. They couldn't get any shots inside, and they were not hitting anything outside the paint. They couldn't make anything.
What's funny about the Shabazz comments, too, is Shabazz, you get a lot of your production in transition and off offensive rebounds. So if you're not getting the ball, we feel for you. But
I would have liked to see. I agree. I would have liked to see more post ups for him. But
yeah,
no question.
He's going to get his usually somehow.
Yep.
A semblance of his. I mean, maybe not consistently, not every game, but that's how he gets his points. The hustle points. He's a hustler. So for Baz to say the team is playing selfish,
that's saying something.
There's got to be something to that. Last night or Saturday night, depending on when you're listening to this, the Wolves defeated Chicago in what was a very entertaining game. The Wolves won 102-93. Pau Gasol led the way for Chicago. He had 21 points on 8 of 19 shooting. He had 14 rebounds. Derrick Rose was almost invisible. 11 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, negative 21, plus minus. Fred Hoiberg, maybe, if the Wolves ever offered him a job, maybe he picked the wrong team. I don't know. He was, I saw some post-game comments. He was almost in shock. He said that the Bulls came out and hustled and played really well and actually defeated Oklahoma City on Thursday. And for them to come out and shoot as poorly as they did, especially late in the game against the Wolves, I don't think Freddie the Mayor Hoiberg was too happy about that. Kevin Martin did not play. He was away from the team, attending to family matters. I know people were interested in the details. We don't know. Wiggins scored 31 on 11 of 27. Towns added 17. Bielitsa added 17. I thought a really well-played game from the Wolves, Batman and Robin, whether you want to call Towns Batman and Wiggins Robin, however you want to do that. They led the way, along with Ricky Rubio.
Who is Commissioner Gordon in that scenario? I don't know. The thing I took away from that,
I'm not entirely well versed in superhero matters, but
Batman's
that sounded really
Batman's
funny.
The only one that I got any knowledge on.
He's more like Alfred.
Okay, we can roll with that. I noticed, I'm just looking at the box score now, a big reason why the Wolves lost: Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, and Nikola Mirotic shot a combined 8 for 36 in the game. Those are their, and well, Gasol played well, but outside of Gasol, those are the guys that they want points from. And then they also shot a combined, what would it be? My math is
hard.
Slow with math.
Math is hard.
1 for 16 from deep.
Wow, that is Pat.
Three players.
There was another game earlier in the season too that whoever the Wolves were playing did not shoot well from the 3-point line, and it attributed to a win. It might have been against Denver. It
might have been LA also.
It's worth noting that the Wolves, although it's a small sample and really early in the season, lead the league in opponent field goal percentage.
Yes.
And opponent 3-point percentage. Before we get into the storylines and the questions, how much do you think the bad shooting performance has to do with solid defense or was it just a bad shooting night? I think it has to be a mix of both.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, in years past, maybe you look at this box score and you say, well, the Bulls just had an off night.
Right.
This season, with this roster and from some of the lineups we've seen, especially the starters defensively, the Wolves are a good team, and they've gotten back to the basics, and I think their strong defending had a lot to do with Chicago's struggles.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's obviously a mix to a certain degree. I mean, I don't think they're going to get Jimmy Butler shooting 4-15 very often, but they've played good D in their past four games before that. I mean, it's, again, like you said, a small sample size, but they've done it so far. They did it again last night. They held the Bulls to, I think it was 36 points between the second half and overtime.
Damn. And no points in overtime.
Yeah, and 0 for in overtime.
That's where, I know, too, we should have got in overtime, but Towns blocked a Derrick Rose layup, I think, right away in the extended period, and the Bulls didn't go into the paint after that. It was jump shot, jump shot, jump shot.
Maybe similar to that Whiteside effect that the Wolves had against Miami.
Just
didn't want to try to score in on Towns because he was so devastating in there.
They learned from Miami and applied what they learned in Chicago. It's the opposite now.
It's what you do with young teams, you learn.
A great win, though, overall, I think.
Agreed.
Sam Mitchell had some nice things to say about the way his team and some of the players, specifically Bielitsa, Rubio, Wiggins, and Towns, he had some nice things to say after the game.
I'm just proud of our team. Our young guys, they just played hard tonight, and I thought everybody who played, I thought Zach did an unbelievable job when he was out there. Tayshaun, you know, he just made some big plays for us down the stretch, but I just thought Carl and Wig and Ricky, they just kept giving us chance after chance to stay in the game.
So that was what happened in Wolvesville since we last had a podcast. So we'll move on to the questions. Again, you can send questions, comments, feedback, anything like that to wolveswired@gmail.com. Pat Mary, this came through on Twitter. Pat Mary, I think he has like a Matt Femrite thing going on where he has switched the first letters of his name for his Twitter handle for privacy purposes or whatever.
Sure.
He asks, has the start of the season changed our opinion of final record? I'm pretty not into predictions, so I can't say how many wins I predicted. I think 27 is maybe what
I think
I said.
I said 25.
I thought you said they'd be 500.
I said, best case, everything goes perfectly, they go 500, but realistically, 25.
Okay, so
like, 41 wins was, everything is amazing. Rubio is healthy and takes a big leap. Wiggins takes a leap. Towns is rookie of the year. No one gets hurt.
So like me, you didn't really give a definitive win total.
My definitive one was 25. That was my realistic, you know, players get hurt into consideration.
I think mine was 27. Are you going to go ahead and change yours after how many games has it been? Five?
No, they have not yet. The three teams they beat, Chicago is a good team, but the two other teams they beat weren't good teams. They lost to Portland, who, despite having some nice pieces, isn't a good team yet. They haven't had any back-to-backs yet. They haven't experienced injuries yet. It's too early.
It's too early.
It's too early to change predictions.
Maybe.
It's been nice to watch them win, but
I'll add a win. I'll say 28. I'll change my win total.
That's bold.
But we can go back and revisit that question.
We can.
On later podcasts. I think we'll actually go and revisit it next week.
Talk to me in a month.
Yeah, or even, I mean, they play, we'll preview the week ahead later, but they play the Hawks, they play Charlotte, they play Golden State, they play Indiana, and they play Memphis between when we're recording and when our next podcast will
be. That's exciting. So TNT against Memphis, or Golden State, rather. That'll be fun.
That's a worrisome situation, I think. You saw what Golden State did to Memphis.
When was the last time they were on TNT?
Last time they played Golden State.
Oh, goodness.
I think.
All right.
Yeah, the opponent's collective record as of this point, the Wolves' next opponents in the upcoming week are 22-12. But I know Atlanta is 7-1. They haven't lost since the season opener, and Golden State is 7-0. So they're 14-1 right there. Yeah, next question. Alex Keys. This came through at wolveswired@gmail.com. Is there an analytical case to be made that a certain amount of wing inefficiency is beneficial for someone like Towns, i.e. Kevin Martin taking ill-advised shots, might bolster Cat's rebounds, assists, etc. I think there's something to that. I don't know if there's a correlation that you could chart and graph and say is, you know, a pattern. In theory, yeah, if you have guys who miss a lot of shots and really good offensive rebounders, maybe your really good offensive rebounders, say, you know, Tristan Thompson, you know, for instance, the tandem of Tristan Thompson and Matthew Dellavedova. Maybe Matthew Dellavedova is a bad enough shooter that Tristan Thompson...
J.R. Smith on a bad night,
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
If maybe he gets more offensive rebounds on those nights than, say, when Mo Williams gets Matthew Dellavedova's minutes and shoots a little more efficiently.
But I don't know how you... Yeah, I don't know how you'd quantify that. It would depend, one, on the matchup, and two, I mean, Towns plays on the perimeter a decent amount, too. He's not all... Like, he crashes the glass well, but... It really depends on matchups with stuff like this and how often he's going to be crashing the glass and what plays they're running.
I think it's a good question, but maybe, like, when Love was here mm-hmm. and all of the perimeter shooting was just so terrible, maybe that helped his offensive rebound numbers.
Could have helped Pat's too. Who knows?
Next question. Thank you, Alex and Pat, for questions. This last one's from Matt. I'm going to butcher your name. Pravratsky. I know he's a reporter in St. Paul that does stuff, and I see him on Twitter all the time, and he'll probably give me stuff, some guff for this. But he asks, ignoring who specifically starts or finishes games, which five-man lineup should be getting the most minutes together based on what you've seen thus far? I think before we answer, we should preface this by saying there's been a lot of hubbub about Sam Mitchell's rotations.
Has there?
I think so.
I think you're right.
I think I passively, aggressively, perhaps trolled people during the Heat game.
You might have.
By all capsing a tweet that says, are you guys complaining about rotations? I can't tell. And it's, I mean, I think everybody's favorite five-man rotation is Rubio, Levine, Wiggins, Bielitsa, Tom.
It's not for me.
All right.
Mine isn't.
What is your five-man rotation? And then I'll do mine later.
The one I want to see down the road, Ricky Rubio, shocker. Andrew Wiggins, Shabazz Muhammad, Nemanja Bjelica, Karl-Anthony Towns. That's the five-man rotation I like. You can replace Shabazz for Levine, that's fine, but that's the five-man I want to see. I like, and I've said this a bazillion times at this point, I like the potential for matchup mismatches between Wiggins and Shabazz. I like the idea of having Wiggins and Shabazz run the break with Ricky and Towns, especially because of how hard Shabazz runs down the floor on the fast break. And then, you know, Bielitz is just a steady guy no matter what. I think he's going to be in every ideal five-man lineup. I'm assuming he's in yours.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but both Levine and Shabazz Muhammad did a lot of their damage in transition in college. I know that.
Yes.
And that's a skill that translates to the NBA. I mean, you get 260 minutes mm-hmm. for each game. I like Shabazz as an option off the bench. I don't know if the math would work out to where that would be the lineup that you just stated would be the most used during the game.
I agree.
It could be. It very well could be. I just don't know. I think Baz is the wild card in that lineup, as well as Levine, too.
I think the non-Wiggins wing player is the wild card in that lineup, because I think people want Shabazz to be good enough to be a starting small forward, but I don't think anyone's fully confident in him playing small forward, you know, a bunch of minutes right away in big spots yet. Definitely the same with Levine. I think people like Kevin Martin, but don't necessarily want to see him play huge minutes anymore.
I don't know. If I've got a definitive five, I'm putting Kevin Martin in it for now. We can revisit
the
question.
No, that's fair. He knows how to play better than the other two we've mentioned.
Rubio, Martin, Wiggins, Bielitsa, Towns would be my five. And just because you can have, you know, Levine and Muhammad aren't ready defensively, I don't think, for starters' roles. Certainly not Shabazz. I think there's a lot of call for Shabazz to start. I think there's people who are confident in him to start. Whether they're right or wrong isn't necessarily up to me, but I like him as a sixth man, definitely. And with the way, I know Kevin Martin didn't play in the Chicago game and the Wolves still won, But if I've got to, you've got to put a gun to my head and I got to answer the question, that's what I'm going to go with. Okay. Just because I think for the majority of a game, that would be the five to play. Obviously, the Wolves' most effective lineup defensively is the starters still.
They're still leading the league in defensive rating, points allowed per 100 possessions, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, that is correct. You're using these notes rather well.
I think second is Utah.
In our Google document, we have the Wolves starters are giving up 74.1 points per 100 possessions. The next closest,
Utah Jazz, 76.3, third. The Brooklyn Nets, yeah, which I wouldn't have
which
expected.
Is bizarre.
It's a lineup of Jarrett Jack, Joe Johnson, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Thaddeus Young, and Brook Lopez.
Much smaller sample on that one. And they actually are...
Yeah, only a difference of 17 minutes.
They're a good offensive club, too. I think what the one I was taken aback by was the Detroit starters, the Caldwell Pope,
yep.
Andre Drummond, Ersan Ilyasova, Reggie Jackson, and Marcus Morris. 111 minutes together compared to the Wolves starters, who have played 59. That Detroit five-man unit, scoring 100.9 points per 100 possessions and giving up 84.2. So Detroit, the way they're playing, I don't know their record, but I think they could be a playoff team in the East probably this year.
Fun fact, I'm just looking at this now, among five-man lineups that have played at least 30 minutes on the floor, 17th is another Wolves lineup. That Wolves starting lineup is first.
Mm-hmm.
Their bench unit, their complete bench unit, Zach LaVine, Kevin Martin, Shabazz Muhammad, Nemanja Bjelica, and Gorgui Dieng are 17th among lineups that have played at least 30 minutes.
In defensive rating?
In defensive
rating.
What's
their offensive rating?
92.6. Their defensive rating is 96.9.
So they're
beating by...
So their defense... Sorry.
No, it's fine. By almost a full point, they're beating the much-talked-about defense of the starting lineup of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Wow. Who are in...
Well, they're in a rut.
A bit of a rut. And that's a perfect transition into our next question. This was an anonymous... You know, the email was just a bunch of letters and then some numbers. So maybe those are initials and then numbers, whatever. What's going on with Dave Yorger in Memphis? I don't know. Memphis isn't playing too well. There's some rumors that he could be on the hot seat. I think the Grizzlies championship window is slowly closing, especially in this Western Conference. There's some, I think there's some smoke there, potentially. I don't know how long Memphis will continue to struggle, and I don't know if Dave Yorger gets fired that he'll immediately come running to the Wolves and get a job, but it's certainly worth keeping an eye out.
I'm shocked that they've fallen off so hard, as we have said and are going to say for the next few weeks. It's early in the season, of course, but the Grizzlies are struggling. They're getting killed by teams. We should keep in mind they're 3-4. Their record isn't as bad as maybe people are letting on.
No, that 150 some point loss,
that was crazy. Mike Conley took 25 shots yesterday. I like Mike Conley, but you never want to see that out of him. No one's playing particularly well for the Grizzlies right now, at least in their starting lineup. And Jeff Green's having struggles off the bench. It's just kind of a mess there.
It's
a fixable mess, but it's a mess.
It's sort of similar to the same problem that they've had throughout the years. They don't have a perimeter player who can score or shoot regularly.
That's why Mike Conley's taking 25 shots and it's not working.
Kevin Martin might be a nice fit there. We've addressed Kevin Martin's trade availability, and we're not going to go into it today, but just saying, could be a nice fit.
That's true. He would be a nice fit there.
Last podcast, episode 8. Tim had a very profound point, although I
remembered it.
Oh, you do? What was it?
The last... I forgot it. Nope.
Shut up, Fink.
Listen to your damn music, or whatever you're listening to.
Listen to
anything. Oh. Anyway. Sorry, go ahead. Start over.
Last podcast, we had an unintentional bit that we are going to turn into a routine. I don't know how thrilled Tim is about it. I didn't really ask him, but we're doing it. Tim made a profound point. I can't remember what it was. Tim, do you?
I do. It was regarding Karl-Anthony Towns being the second teen in NBA history to have at least 28 points and 14 rebounds in a game. The only other player to do that was one LeBron James.
And
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
You're just saying. Which brings us to our new segment, which might be awkward right now, but as we go along, it'll be less awkward and it'll be awesome. The I'm not saying, I'm just saying segment, where Tim and I point out some ridiculous fact that might not even be a big deal.
Usually probably won't be a big deal, but it's going to be fun for us.
Do you want to start? I'll start because I don't think mine's very profound.
Okay.
Will you remind me again the second unit's offensive rating and the second unit's defensive rating?
Yes.
I think you said 92 something points per 100 possessions, and then it was they're giving up 97.
92.6 offensive rating, 96.9 defensive rating. That defensive rating is 17th among lineups that have played at least 30 minutes.
So the defensive rating is better than the offensive rating, you're saying?
Yes, much better.
Slightly. True or false, there's been some call to get Andre Miller some minutes on this team.
Very true.
And if you're going to put Andre Miller in with that second unit, I don't know who you're going to remove or who gets less minutes. I think it's more likely that LaVine moves to the two and maybe Kevin Martin takes another night off. Or Tayshaun Prince is taking the second night off of a back-to-back and Kevin Martin moves into the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
If you put Andre Miller in that lineup, I think they become worse defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Although they might become a little better offensively, but I think with the overall stratagem that Sam Mitchell has taken with getting back to basics and defending and turning defense into offense and the transition scoring that Shabazz and LaVine do,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it would be a bad idea to put Andre Miller in with that group. I'm just saying we should let that second group, you know, develop some time. Maybe they improve a little, or maybe they develop a rhythm. Mm-hmm. I just don't like instantly waving. You know, you put Andre Miller out there, you're going to be a bad defender. That one position is going to be defended horribly. It's likely the point guard, and that's who can create and get things going for the opponent. So, not saying that Andre Miller shouldn't play.
Okay.
I'm just saying, wait a while. Wolves don't need him to play right now.
Sure.
That's my intro to this bit.
And it should be mentioned that, as you said, Kevin Martin took, or I should rephrase, Kevin Martin didn't play against Chicago due to personal reasons. Andre Miller still didn't play. Zach LaVine remained the point guard, and the Wolves beat a very good team in overtime on the road.
I don't know for sure. I'm actually going to pull it up right now. The game lineups. I know we did see, you know, we sound like Sam Mitchell apologists because we don't, we're not as
we acknowledge
we're not as vitriolic with him, yeah. with how much we dislike his rotation.
We're both acknowledging that there are definitely potential problems with his rotations, but there are lots of, well, what would you do if you changed the rotations questions and whose minutes would get cut? Because it's not that easy. Because if you want to play Andre Miller at the point guard, that's great, but whose minutes are you going to cut?
Yeah, and there's more.
You're not going to cut Tayshaun's minutes. That lineup has been, that starting five has been the best lineup defensively that the Wolves have had in years. Granted, again, it's only been five games. You're not going to cut Zach LaVine's minutes. It's a development year. You're not going to cut Shabazz's minutes. You're not going to cut the only steady three-point shooter, Kevin Martin's minutes. It's not as easy as just throwing Miller in there.
No, and there's more context to it, too. And it's not like I'm sitting here more educated than you or anybody else, but going into the Heat game, I didn't really think about the Wolves' schedule ahead. And after the game, when Sam Mitchell talking about, you know, with how he didn't, he only played Rubio 25 minutes or whatever. And,
sure.
You know, you and I think we saw Rubio throwing up on the sideline during the game. And,
yeah.
Or he did not look right. Sam Mitchell didn't answer whether he was sick or not. But
I think he said everyone was sick watching the way that the Wolves played.
Yeah, well, that's deflecting if I've ever seen it. But Towns didn't play a lot. Wiggins played a good amount. Rubio didn't play a lot. And it's because the Wolves had six games in 9 days following that. They got a big upcoming week. And you see Kevin Martin take the Chicago game off. It's entirely possible that Sam Mitchell sees the bigger picture and is thinking about health and the way he uses these guys, and he's trying not to exhaust them physically.
Totally agree.
Right at the beginning of the season. Last year, I know we mentioned it, you see Rubio and Wiggins play the entire first quarter. That has virtually ended. They come out 5, 6, 7 minutes into the game, at least from what I can tell this season. So it'd be interesting to track when the substitutions are happening in the first quarter and go back and look at it sometime, maybe at the All-Star break. But
I'd like to see, I don't know if there's a way to figure this out, I'd like to see how many different combinations of lineups Mitchell has used as opposed to other coaches. That would interest me because I feel like he's trying a bunch of different lineups, and that's a big part of the reason why certain people are playing less minutes right now. And this isn't a team that's supposed to make noise in the West this year, so if he's going to fiddle with lineups and see who works well together, or this early in the year,
why not?
Doing all well, conserving players and, you know, maybe helping avoid injury, I'm perfectly fine with that.
John Krasinski, AP Sports Guy, had a tweet today, too, and I think that can top off this conversation, that it's been 8 years since Mitchell's coached. His last year coaching was your junior year of high school. It was my senior year of high school.
Wow.
So there's an adjustment period for him, too. And given the circumstances that he's taken over, I think you got to give some sort of benefit of the doubt. It is worth noting, one last note on lineups, Bielitsa, Tayshaun Prince, Ricky Rubio, Towns, and Andrew Wiggins against Chicago, 12 minutes. Their offensive rating was 107.5.
Oh,
defensive rating was 41.1. Pretty good.
So that's the lineup that we should have both said earlier on.
Yeah, that might be the answer. And with Garnett and Prince and their age and the back-to-backs and, you know, the rotations are going to differ once they start missing games, because I don't think there's any dispute that those guys aren't going to play 82 games.
No.
So there's some variables. Maybe at the 20 game mark, we'll go and talk about the rotations and do some research that you've suggested that I think is a good idea. Moving on.
Oh, I haven't given my, I'm not saying I'm.
Oh, no, no.
We almost missed
bad.
It. No,
my
it's
bad.
My bad, too. We almost just skipped it.
Tim?
Mine is much more. How do you say, ridiculous?
I like it.
Don't take it seriously. But
I like it.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
The Minnesota Timberwolves have started this season 3-0 on the road. This is also very likely Kevin Garnett's final season in the league. Correct?
Correct.
Are you on with
him
so far?
Nah, he's got another year, but we don't know.
Okay.
A lot of people assume that he won't play next year.
The last time the Wolves started 3-0 on the road, they actually started 4-0 on the road. It was 2001, 2002. That team won 50 games. It was Sam Mitchell's final NBA season.
Wow. So you're not saying...
I'm not saying that they're going to win 50 games and then Garnett's going to retire, you know, fade out in the sunset and then maybe...
Did they make
maybe
the playoffs
buy the team.
That year?
Oh, yeah. I think they were the fifth seed that year.
Nice.
They got swept. They got destroyed by Dallas.
Hey.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
You're just saying. Hey, I think we would all be satisfied if the Wolves did a Warriors thing and, you know, made the eighth seed and
then got destroyed by the Warriors. Probably.
I think I could celebrate that, right? You could celebrate the eighth seed, couldn't you? It's been 11 years.
I don't want to say what grade I was in the last time the Timberwolves made the playoffs.
I'll say I wasn't even in high school
yet. It was seventh grade.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, we hoped you liked... I'm not saying, just saying. Maybe we can, you know, feature guest calls, or, you know, you're welcome to send your I'm not saying, just sayings to the Wolves Wired email.
I like that.
WolvesWired@gmail.com. If you're not saying and you're just saying, we'd like to hear you. Tim, that's most of what I wanted to talk about today. I really don't have much else. We can look at the week ahead. Again, the Hawks, the Wolves are in Atlanta right now. I know they had practice at Georgia Tech University, and they play the Hawks in Atlanta tomorrow. The Hawks are 7-1. They haven't lost since the season opener. Kent Bazemore has hit more corner threes, I think, than the Wolves have made collectively as a team. He hasn't made as many as the Wolves have attempted, though, so they could catch up. And then Tuesday, they're at home versus Charlotte. Charlotte has played well. They seem to have picked up the three-pointer, which is something they were almost allergic to last year, but they're 2-4. I think you and I are split on if the Wolves could win. We might have to get a friendly wager going. Thursday at home against the Warriors, Friday at the Indiana Pacers, and then Sunday at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. Anything you're looking forward or you will be assessing this week?
No, I'm excited to watch Atlanta and Golden State. Those are probably my two favorite teams to watch, along with San Antonio.
What do you think of Atlanta's new jerseys?
Oh, other than that, I can't stand those things. But other than that, I really like watching them play. I wish there was a way to watch them on the TV and maybe flip the jersey. I don't know. I'm talking stupid now.
That's okay.
It's the end of the weekend. Anyway.
And the end of this podcast. Are you like me and watching Korver run around screens? You're like, no!
Yeah.
It's just a gradual ascension towards, no! He finally gets open and shoots and makes it. I think he was like 6 for 6 the other night. I don't know.
He's killing it. Bazemore had a big game. I think he led the Hawks in scoring.
Let's check our stat guy, Fink.
Thumbs up.
Fink says thumbs up. Bazemore led the Hawks in scoring yesterday. So, Fink, you got anything else to add? Any noteworthy NBA notes? No? Alrighty.
Thumbs down on any NBA notes.
Well, overall, okay week. I think I missed Flip. I won't lie about it. I think his absence will be felt throughout the year, but I think with the tribute video, you know, it'll be a lingering thing they have to deal with all year, but at this point they're back to playing basketball. They got the home opener out of the way and all that emotion. Next week we could debate whether Wiggins or Towns is Batman or Robin or whether that matters.
And what Rubio is in that whole thing.
Yeah, Alfred.
Commissioner Gordon or Alfred. I feel like there's a pretty big... We'll save this. I'm going to save it for the next podcast.
Yeah, teasers.
Yeah.
So, for Tim Fakeless, Sporting News contributor, Wolf Among Wolves contributor, Hardwood Paroxysm contributor, guy who posts the Wolves Wired podcast at the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network Podcast Center. You can follow him at TimFakLis. My name is Zachary Bennett. Zachary BD is my handle. I spell Zachary with an A like a normal person, so there's no confusion there. For Fink.
He's so good at being silent.
For Tim, for Fink, for me, for the Podcast Center, for the HPBN Network, this has been Wolves Wired, Episode 9. So long.